This is Let's Talk Big, the Big Read with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel. The Owens Community College Campus Read is taking place now and throughout the semester, with the goal of bringing awareness of different perspectives through books. The Campus Read book is Carrie, a Memoir of Survival on Stolen Land, from 2020 recipient of the NEA Creative Writing Fellowship, Tony Jensen. It's a memoir and essays about gun violence, land, and Indigenous women's lives. Now sharing passages, topics, and events related to the book, Carrie, a Memoir of Survival on Stolen Land, is Owens Community College Director of Library Services, Jane Berger, and Professor of English, Jen Hazel.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jen Hazel, and I have with me
Jane Berger.
And guess who else we have with us? Tony Jensen! So excited. So we are going to dive right in. Jane,
first of all, there's so many things I love about your book. The themes, I really love the Webster's Dictionary references. What inspired you to write the book? This is your lived experiences. What prompted you to just say, I want to write about this. I want people to know how things really are, or how things happened for me.
In my case, as a writer, something will happen in my life and I'll jot down notes about it. And then I'll write about it more. And then I'll write about it more. And then something else will happen. And that's sort of where Carrie came from, my personal experiences, meeting the experiences, time-wise, of things that were happening elsewhere in the country. My nephew had a gun held to him in a suburb in Colorado. That happened in close proximity to the shooting at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando. And Pulse had been the bar where my students, when I taught at University of Central Florida, often went after their writing workshops. They'd all go out to Pulse and celebrate. That campus, it's one of the biggest campuses in the country, I don't think, one of the biggest universities in the country, which I don't think people know about Central Florida, maybe is having one of the biggest populations, but it's like mm-hmm. this city on the edge of Orlando. It's really vibrant. And a lot of the students are from the area. This was one of those shootings where we had to wait for a while for the list of names. Now it seems like the names come out sooner, but they didn't in that case, because it was such a big incident. And so in any case, I was waiting for the list of names, and I just started really writing more and more about other things that had been happening in my life and then around the country. And I started writing essays first, and then eventually it seemed like, yes, probably I was writing a book, and then it went from there. But yeah, it started with the personal intersections with these sorts of pretty much everyday violences that we have in our country.
Mm-hmm. Did you come across any challenges or obstacles while writing this? If you did some research that maybe people weren't as cooperative as you had hoped, or people clammed up because nobody wants to talk about certain things?
I didn't encounter that too much while writing the book, but I did encounter that when fact-checking and revising the book. For some people, being interviewed at an early stage where maybe it'll be an essay or a book chapter, that's a much different reality than when someone gets a contract with a big publisher like Penguin Random House and the book has a date and it's actually going to be published, right?
Sure. So
I think a lot of people really had some feelings about that. People in my family for sure had some feelings about the scale of it. I used to work in journalism, so, you know, I would be very clear. It was an essay or it was a book chapter and, you know, the book would be coming out. But people got a little shy about fact-checking and about that stage. But okay, in the initial stage, people were very willing to talk. So I think it's one thing to enter into a conversation with somebody and really get carried away by the questions and talking. And then it's another thing to think about, oh, is that really how I want to say this? Or, oh, do I really want this in a book? And so that was a trickier stage.
Can you tell us a little bit about your writing process? Do you write gobs of pages all at once, or make, you know, tons of notes? Or do you just, as you said, you start writing things down, but then do you sit down for 8 hours in a day and write it out? Or what's your process? How do you go about it?
It really varies because of my schedule, because I'm a parent of a teenager and I teach and I travel and do events and things. And so I get a lot of work done on airplanes and at airports when I travel, that's for sure, because you're in this like bubble of an environment without very much other stimulus or distraction. So I do a lot of writing on airplanes. When I'm home, I do a lot of writing all over the house. I have an office space, but that doesn't necessarily mean I write there. And I'm always taking notes about things I observe. I'm always making folders in my phone and in my laptop about news from the world that I'm interested in. And then I do this with my students too. We do exercises every semester, usually a couple times a semester, where we make lists of things we're obsessed with. And how we know what we're obsessed with is going through, you know, the ways in which we catalog our ideas and our experiences. Some people take photos, some people jot notes down in a notebook. Whatever it is, what are you scrolling and looking at the most? What are you thinking about the most? And if some of them have to be serious things and some have to be less serious, right? Like tennis shoes, maybe.
Right.
There's a kind of ASICS tennis shoe, the Onitsuka Tigers, that I really am interested in. And so the tennis shoes make it on there a lot, or basketball, or things like that. So I'm always cataloging, and that's how I start. And then the writing, sometimes I only have 45 minutes.
Okay.
Sometimes I have 3 or 4 hours, and I can work with either block of time pretty well. To finish a book, which is different than finishing a part of a book, I really did. I had a month residency in Marfa, Texas, through the Lannan Family Foundation, and that was crucial to getting some of the bigger chapters finished. That was very helpful.
So what are you currently obsessed with?
Currently, I'm obsessed with a couple of things. One of them is gentrification of rural areas, college towns in particular.
Okay.
I'm in Missoula, Montana this semester on a fellowship, and Missoula is a place that's rapidly gentrifying and changing. They have Arkansas, where University of Arkansas is. That whole northwest Arkansas region is rapidly gentrifying and changing. Some towns where college students could afford to live, let's say entry-level faculty in the humanities could afford to live,
mm-hmm.
people who are wait staff, right, which was the job I had the most before becoming a professor. Everyday people in the academy, used to be able to afford to live pretty easily. It's just not the case anymore. A lot of places that are making it desirable to move to live are just really jumping the shark in terms of real estate prices. And what does that look like for diversity then, right? What does
mm-hmm.
that look like? What do we mean by affordable housing when affordable housing now, at least in Fayetteville and the Fayetteville area of Northwest Arkansas where I live, something that was affordable would have been in the $200,000 range maybe before, and now it's $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that had changed just in the last few years. And wages certainly have not risen commensurately. So those sorts of things. I'm really interested in the effect that's going to have on the middle of the country and the Intermountain West region in particular. So I'm looking at that. I'm really interested in stories that are working class stories too, and environmental stories. So sites of where indigenous people in particular are doing good environmental work or
mm-hmm.
working in fields that people might not be aware of. So kind of presenting Native people's lives through work is something that I'm getting interested in too. And I'm not sure if that'll be nonfiction or fiction, but writing about gentrification is for sure a nonfiction project.
Those are some really interesting topics. Tony, to take you back to Carrie for a second, can you explain the
mm-hmm.
thought process behind using the Webster's Dictionary? We talked a lot in our book club about every time that was you were using that. And so I'm curious as to where that came from and how you made those choices.
For me, it comes from this idea that we float along in our day-to-day lives thinking we know what we're saying to people or what we're writing to people, even in a communication as simple as an email, but the recipient certainly might not read it the same way we do. Words have so many different layers and context and meaning, especially if you go back historically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in particular in etymology around violence and sport. So, you know, in basketball, for example, you shoot the ball, a pistol grip, that sort of a grip is something, a common description for holding a lot of things, and we all know what that grip looks like, right? And
right.
So just the idea that going back to our foundational language, we're intertwined with guns and violence. And I think once you know that and once you start to clock that and see it, you can't really unsee it. And then it just becomes a different way of seeing our language, that it's just language, sure, we're communicating, but there can be some violence undergirding some of it at the very basic level. And then, too, sometimes language is just weird and fun. Looking up, oh, that little strip of grass between a sidewalk and the road, looking up all the different things that could be called for the one essay that said in Minnesota, that was tremendous fun. So part of it was more serious, and part of it was just to add a layer of playfulness and fun, because a book about guns and gun violence and domestic violence certainly needs that kind of balance, right? It needs a little whimsy, and Webster's is very good for both the serious part and the whimsy.
We're speaking with Toni Jensen, who will be on campus Thursday, April 25th at 10 a.m. in the CFPA Theater and 3:30 p.m. in the Educational Center on Finley's campus. Join us for part two of our podcast with Toni Jensen next week. On behalf of myself, Jane Berger, and Toni Jensen, keep talking big.
Catch Let's Talk Big on Outkast OCCR Owens Community College Radio every Thursday at 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 7 p.m., and 10 p.m., and at various times throughout the week. Or listen anytime on the Owens Outcom Plus YouTube channel. Let's Talk Big on the Owens Outcom Plus YouTube channel. Be sure to like and subscribe. And join us again here for Let's Talk Big, the Big Read with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel. Oh.